Welcome to the Board Games with Scott podcast. This is just the audio from the Board Games with Scott videos. To see the full videos, head over to www.boardgameswithscott.com.
Hi there! Welcome to Board Games with Scott, a weekly video log or vlog where I take a game, explain the game, and briefly review the game. This week I'm going to look at a party game. I'm going to look at Hoopla by the people who put out Cranium. Hoopla is an interesting game in that everyone is on one team trying to beat the game. So it's a little different from other types of party games where everyone's against each other or you're on two teams. And that's one of the most endearing aspects of this game. Let's open up the Hoopla box and see what's inside. Here's some of the components that come in the Hoopla game. The first thing you've got is a very nice instruction card. They thought about this for some time. They give you the setup here on one sheet. They tell you how the gameplay goes. They tell you what happens if someone gets it right or wrong and what you do. That, and then what you can do if you want to make the game a little bit more difficult. While gameplay is going on, you have the card sitting up like this, because the card will tell you what you have to do based upon the roll of this large die. There's got a nice size die with a number of colors. I'll talk about what the colors mean in a little bit. You've got the standard Cranium pencil and pad of paper that comes with the game. You've got three chits, the wild chits, which lets you deal with an uncomfortable situation. You know, maybe we need some of these in life. Here, have a wild chit. Everything's going to be fine. And then you've got these cards, and the deck is full of these picturesque cards. So the cards all have a picture. There's who cards, where cards, and what cards. So in this case, you've got a radio flyer and spandex. You've got a where of a food court and a where of Treasure Island and a who of Colonel Sanders and a who of a weightlifter. So that's the components. They're nice and sturdy, good for party play. Everything's pretty hefty, pretty chunky, which is nice when you're screaming and yelling and having a good time. So let's see how the gameplay really works. When you play the game, you're going to roll the die, which is going to tell you how you have to convey a card. Everyone's going to have a hand of the cards I showed you earlier. So you'll roll the die, and that will tell you what activity you have to do. Based upon the activity, you pick a card from your hand that you think you can best convey using that activity. And then you give it a shot. The timer is something that you start as soon as you start acting, and you've got a total of 15 minutes for the game. So the group has to get through all the cards in their hands, plus a stack of 8 cards in the middle, in order to win the game. Here's some of the ways that you'll have to get across your cards. You may have to do a Cloodle. Cloodle is where you grab the paper and the pencil and you draw. You can't use letters or numbers, and you try and draw and get people to guess your card. There's Soundstage. In Soundstage, you act out using gestures and sound effects, but don't use any words. So Soundstage, you can treat that as either sound effects, running around, or you can even treat it like regular charades. The other two categories, tongue-tied. In tongue-tied, you have to come up with a phrase where every word starts with the same letter. And so you can pick any letter you want, but as soon as you start giving clues, the only words you can say are words that start with that letter. So their example here is major musician Memphis, and the answer might be Elvis. I found tongue-tied actually to be the hardest clue to give. It's difficult. You think of a few great words, but if no one gets it, you could be stuck. Tweener is the most entertaining category I found. In Tweener, you give clues using the phrase, it's bigger than blank, but smaller than a blank. You can't say any of the words on the card. So their example here, you know, it's bigger than a rock and smaller than Superman, might be kryptonite. So that one's actually very clever. That was actually, I found, the easiest type of clue to give, and you can be very clever about it. And then there's a wild. If you roll wild, you get to choose the action that you want along with the card you want. And that's what those wild chips are that I showed you earlier. The wild chips allow you to make any die roll a wild, but you only have 3 to use for the whole game as a team, so you have to decide when you need to use it. They're best held until the end when you've got tough cards to deal with. When the game is running, it'll look like this. The cards that are face up in the middle of the board are the cards you've already accomplished. Every player has a hand of cards, and then there's a stack of cards that you have to get through in order to win the game. So to win the game, you have to successfully explain all the cards you have in your hand and the cards that you have in your stack in 15 minutes. And the timer works pretty easily. Push it, And it starts ticking, ticking, ticking as time going away. You can take as long as you want to try and describe things, but the longer you take, the less time you've got left. So you have to decide when you're going to give up. If you give up, if you can't get the clue, then you give up, you hit the timer, turning it off, you tell everyone what your card was, everyone groans, and then you have to take two cards as a penalty. So you can't get clues right, you end up getting more cards in your hand. Now this is one of the flaws of the game. If someone is not very good at these types of games, they will end up piling up cards, taking more and more and more and more cards.
I thought it'd be fun to actually play a round of each type to see how quickly you can guess the clues I'm trying to give you, so you can see how each of these clue types work. So we're going to start with soundstage. Soundstage means I can act and I can use sound effects, but I can't say the word. So, okay, I got my cards. Everyone ready? Yes, yes! Graffiti! Graffiti! Yay! So that's how it works. You can show the cards and say, look, it's graffiti! Hooray, we all got it!
So, now it goes around the table, everyone takes a turn, and then comes back to me. I guess that's what happens when you're playing a party game by yourself. So, I roll a die, and let's say I got, for example, tweener. So tweener is where you give categories that say it's bigger than a X and smaller than a Y. Should be like X 0.5. Anyway, so here we go. This is a what. I'm going to try to explain a what to you. You ready? Go. So, this is bigger than a hot fudge sundae, but smaller than a gallon of ice cream. This is bigger than two scoops with fruit under it, and smaller than four scoops with fruit under it. What? Did you say banana split? You're right! Yay! We got banana split! Take that game! So you can see everyone gets really excited because you're fighting together against the game. Oh! Gotta stop the timer when you're done. Alright, so goes around the table, and then let's say it comes back to me again, and I roll the die, and I get tongue-tied, and I groan, ugh, I hate tongue-tied, but I'll try it anyway. Okay, this is a what, which means I gotta give you clues that all start with the same letter. So, ready? Go! Hippies. Happy hippies. Hordes, happy hippies. Happy hippie heaven. Hello, hippie. Hey. Happy hippie heaven. What? Did you say Woodstock? You're right. Yay. We got Woodstock. Yay. We got rid of that card. So, what's all the hoopla about hoopla? Hopefully you've seen it's a party game. Everyone works together. You're all getting excited. That's what I really like about this game, is it gets everyone working together as a big group rather than having two groups that are going head to head. So the competitive nature can still come out, but you're competing against the timer rather than against each other. What are some of the drawbacks? Well, there's a lot of cultural references, as you've seen. If you don't know what Taco Bell is, then you won't be able to do well. We made a rule that said if you draw someone and you don't know who that person or place is, you can discard it and take another card. Although you could always try and play it out using the soundstage, using old-fashioned charades. Two words, first word, sounds like. Try it out that way. The other problem with the game is that someone who doesn't do well at these games is going to have to do more. Because every time you fail, you have to draw two cards. You could change that rule and make it so that if you fail, you take a card, and then someone else that you pick also takes a card. That would allow you to spread it around a bit and prevent one person from being piled on with a big handful of cards simply because they're not good at giving these types of clues. So, as the game stands, I'd give it a B+. If you make that rule tweak where the penalty card can go to anyone else, then I would actually take it up to an A-, simply because then everyone's getting to play more often. So that's what the hoopla is all about. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Board Games with Scott, and we'll come back to boardgameswithscott.com for more information to discuss these games, to see links to some great websites like Board Game Geek, where you can learn about these games. That's actually where I learned about hoopla, was through Board Game Geek. So with that, I will thank you very much for coming. We'll see you on a future episode. Goodbye and take care. Farewell.
Board Games with Scott is under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Scott can be reached at scott@scottnicholson.com.